time for another Piano Puzzler. Bruce Adolph is here with me in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Fred.
Every week, Bruce takes a familiar tune. He rewrites that tune in the style of a great composer. We get one of our listeners on the phone. Bruce plays his creation. Then our listener tries to guess two things: the name of the composer whose style Bruce is mimicking and the name of the song hidden in the Piano Puzzler. Nicholas Gerwich is on the line from Rochester, New York. Nicholas, welcome to PT.
Hey, thank you.
Nicholas, what's your musical background?
I don't even know if it's a background. It might be a middle ground.
Okay.
I think I got into classical music, if you can call it that, from watching movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think over time I've realized that it's probably my favorite part of the movie. So over the years I've gotten more interested in, you know, the people behind it,
right,
which are oftentimes great composers.
So often a lot of people think of the soundtrack as a background. It sounds like you sometimes treat it as a foreground.
Man, sometimes it's front and center.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. This, sometimes when I'm watching a film, the music that's supposed to be in the background supporting the action on screen, I wind up paying more attention to the music.
Yeah, and it can be infuriating when people don't give it the right amount of attention.
I'm totally with you on that. I'm all about the film music. Well, we're about to be all about a piano puzzler. Bruce is at the ready at the piano. So he'll play this, then we'll see if you can name the hidden tune and the composer whose style Bruce is mimicking. And Nicholas, I don't know what's coming either, so if you get stuck on either side, we can brainstorm on this together.
I may pick you up on that.
Okay. Nicholas, here is Bruce Adolph with your piano puzzler.
Short and insane.
So, Nicholas, what do you think?
For a composer to be having that much fun, they'd probably have to be Russian.
Well said. I'm not sure how you got there, but yeah, you're in the right country.
My first guess would be Stravinsky.
And you're right.
Well done, okay. Igor Stravinsky.
It just shows you don't need to have music background if you're listening. That's great.
First guess, absolutely correct, Igor Stravinsky. And what about the tune that's wrapped up in the style of Stravinsky?
I don't have a sports background either, but I think that might be baseball related.
He's a wise guy.
Take me out to the ball game?
You're two for two.
That's right. That's a home run, really, actually.
Absolutely. Take me out to the ball game in the style of Igor Stravinsky. And Nicholas, was there anything about what Bruce played that other than just the general atmosphere, was there something that clued you in to Stravinsky?
I think you called it insane, and I think a lot of Russians are very insane.
Well, it could have been, there are some insane Americans like Charles Ives, you know. I mean, of course, I'm not using that term specifically correctly. When you say the style of Stravinsky, he actually went through quite a few distinct stylistic changes, more than most composers, and they were really very different from each other. This is from what's sometimes called his Russian period, and it's based specifically on The Rite of Spring, which is a piece from 1913.
So there's some quotes.
Yes, there are quotes. But aside from the little quotes, the language of it, the harmonic language, and even some of the rhythmic patterns are very much from that period.
Is there a harmonic pattern that you can show us from your puzzler that you just did that connects with The Rite of Spring?
Absolutely. There are a couple of things, but I have to use a word called octatonic that is not thrown around too much these days except in musical circles. Octatonic is also called by jazz musicians the symmetrical scale, and it's a scale that sounds like this. And it's called symmetrical because it alternates whole steps and half steps. And the scale really was part of the teaching method and the chords that come out of it, Rimsky-Korsakov, who briefly taught Stravinsky. And what you get is a whole different set of chords than you would get from, let's say, a major scale or a minor scale. And you get certain kinds of relationships. For example, the first part of this Take Me Out to the Ball Game goes, And these chords, those are normal, standard, traditional chords, but they're not in a relationship of a key here. They're in the relationship of octatonicism. So they actually are almost, it's almost like cubism. You get different chords relating to each other. So that's one thing that happens. You get chords that move in minor thirds like this. And that's partly what's going on here, although it's a little more complicated. And then you also get the possibility of combining chords. Like in the octatonic scale, you can have chords that are a tritone apart, together. And Stravinsky is famous for that in Petrushka. It's called the Petrushka chord. It's a C major chord and an F sharp major chord. So I did that in a couple of places, right here. Where it's one, two, three strikes, you're out. Two out of the three. I was having a lot of fun. Two of the three are that chord, because I'm very literal. So you have... and this, the old ball game, this is also an octatonic collection of chords, with a quote from the Rite of Spring. Also, there are some really cool rhythmic things that happen in Stravinsky. One is that he dislocates like one phrase from another. So here, that sounds very simple. But if you put the tune in a different time signature, then it gets very Stravinsky. It's like dislocated meters.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like polyrhythms, but it's even weirder than that, because they are it's like cubism, as if you took a picture and geometrically separated the planes of the picture. That's exactly what he was doing in this period.
Separations of rhythm and laying them over the top of each other.
Yes,
like
exactly.
That. Yeah.
And then there's this quote. Yeah, and there's this quote. Now, this is from the Rite of Spring. That chord, which is very famous. But here it goes. So you get... Right. It's a little bit bizarre.
I wonder if we could get a major league team to play this during the seventh inning stretch.
I don't
this
know.
This version of taking out
I
the
think
ball
game. A major, maybe not a major league, but probably an octatonic league.
Okay, now that we know it's Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the style of Stravinsky with all these different references to Stravinsky's style and harmony and rhythm, Bruce, can we hear this week's Puzzler one more time?
Absolutely.
Well, Nicholas Gurwitch, I have to say, you played down your classical knowledge and your sports knowledge, but you nailed both sides of this week's Piano Puzzler. Well done.
I love what Bruce does, and I'm addicted to it.
At one point, as Bruce was explaining this, he said, oh, I'm going to have to look that up. I feel like I'm going to have to look up half a dozen things after this week's Piano Puzzler.
Yeah, it's been a great education today.
Nicholas, nicely done on this week's Piano Puzzler. And how do you hear Piano Puzzlers?
I listen to them Saturday mornings on WXXI in Rochester, 91.5.
WXXI, the great classical music station there in Rochester, New York. Nicholas Gurwitch, thank you so much for playing this week's Piano Puzzler.
Hey, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And Bruce, we'll do it again next week.
Bye, Fred.